the deeper inner work of managing fears, of managing limiting beliefs, where we say, I'm not good enough for this. No one will want to invest in my service or my product. I'm going to be rejected. I don't feel good enough again. Those are the things that will hold us back. So the starting place from there is actually recognizing that you have them, but that they are not you, and they do not define who you are. They do not define your self-worth. They do not define your value. And to also know that you're not alone, because every single woman goes through this. Every single human being has fears and doubts and worries.
Welcome to the Thriving in Chaos Project. Certified divorce coach and credentialed mediator Paulette Rigo invites you to grab a favorite beverage, find a cozy seat, soothe your soul, and take a listen. This podcast was created and inspired by our courageous journeys, love for connecting with others, and having meaningful conversations that teach, impact, and heal through sharing our stories. In each episode, Paulette will be joined by some of the most experienced and compelling experts in all things divorce and transformation. Listen to prepare and thrive through the toughest chapters as we reveal our hardships, celebrate our lessons learned, and see the future clearly with encouragement, hope, and joy. Leave feeling empowered and prepared to approach life and maintain our dignity no matter what. Each podcast episode focuses on sharing real conversations from real life situations. Isn't it time you thrived? Welcome to the Thriving in Chaos Project, the podcast. I'm Paulette, your host. And today I have a guest, Jen Schultz, today. I am really excited she's here today because one of the major problems I face with women that come to me is that they don't know what they want to do for work, as an occupation, as a career. Either the past didn't feel comfortable and didn't make them the income they needed, or now they just feel like, the dread of thinking to get a corporate 9-to-5 job is not something that's making them all smile. So Jen is the founder of the non-9-to-5, and just the name of that makes me smile, right? Let's think about that, the non-9-to-5. So welcome to the show, Jen. So glad you're here today.
Thank you so much, Paulette. It is such an honor to be here with you.
Well, one of the things that I really loved about your work that you do professionally is how you organically fell into this because of your own dilemma, right? Which isn't that the story for so many people? I mean, do you think that I'd be a certified divorce coach, a high conflict divorce specialist, and a mediator if I hadn't gone through divorce?
No.
But that's part of our journey and part of our story. And I think that's important. So just to have people get to know you a little bit more, you had one of those jobs, right? And that work led you to really battling, feeling anxious and depressed and battling anxiety and depression itself. And you received consistent and persistent messages inside you that really said there's more. Is that really what happened? So tell us from the beginning of, like, how did you come to do the work you're doing? Why did it call you?
Yes, I love sharing this story. So thanks for asking. So this is going back towards the end of 2010. I was a teacher at a really high performing charter school in the South Bronx of New York City. And I found myself at a place in my life where I was battling depression. I had severe insomnia. I had low self-esteem. I was ridden with anxiety. I was waking up at 5 a.m. to get to work, to be there at 7. I'd take 2 subways, walk. When I got there, it was dark outside. I wouldn't leave the school until 6, 7 o'clock at night, finding myself not getting home till 8 o'clock at night. And I thought that there was something really wrong with me. Why wasn't I happy? Why wasn't I like this happy teacher in the school? I loved my students. I was a first grade teacher. I loved working with them, being with them, but something was off for me. And even during that time and going through this really depressed time of my life, I was receiving this inner message that kept saying, like, there's gotta be something more. There's gotta be something else. Like this doesn't need to go this way. And what ended up happening was at the end of that year, I walked in on a Monday morning and I gave 2 weeks notice. It was one of the hardest decision I'd ever made, being at the end of the school year in December, like not at the end of the year in summer where there was gonna be no more school, in December. So these kids needed a new teacher. They needed a lot of new things and I was no longer gonna be there for them. However, that was the best decision I've ever made in my life. Hands down, it was one of the hardest and it became one of the best. What that decision did was it put me in this space of, well, now I have to figure this out. So there's a little bit of that push. Well, maybe say more than a little bit of a push because I'm living in New York City. Now I have no more paycheck. I have nothing else coming in. But now there's this fire under my butt going, okay, if I'm meant to do something on my own, now's the time. What ended up happening for me, and it wasn't like it fell out of the sky, I really was like, okay, what are the action steps I need to take? And I listened to my own inner guidance. My inner guidance told me to see if I could find a way to keep teaching, because I was great at teaching. I knew I could do it. I enjoyed doing it, but do it on my own. Do it for myself as a business owner. Now, if anyone's listening that has ever been a teacher and knows about teaching, the only way you typically teach is in a classroom. There's kind of like how do you teach on your own? That was this question that was looming in my mind. How could I actually do this? So it had the energy of impossibility. However, I was completely willing to see what could be underneath the impossible. And what I found was a private tutoring agency, a woman-owned business too, which was very attractive to me. She had created this entire tutoring agency where she hired out independent contractors as teachers and she placed them with students. So a month after I quit my job, I was given one student from her, then I was given two students, then I was given three students. Now I had three students and I was generating money. That led me to, within 3 months of quitting my full-time teaching job, I started my first business, which was called Teacher on the Go. And I would travel to students' homes. Living in New York City, I was going to Brooklyn. I was going to the Upper West Side. I was going downtown. I was going everywhere supporting students. And I started doing that. And after doing that for some time, it then led me into becoming the founder of the Non-9-to-5. Because what I saw, what I realized, what I learned was that I wasn't alone in this deep desire to take my own strengths and put them into work that was meaningful and purposeful for me. And what that ended up becoming was I wanted to teach other women, and I do work with some men, but mostly women, how they too could do this. That it doesn't have to be that hard. It doesn't have to feel impossible. That you can take your own unique talents, your creative gifts, because we all have them, and actually create a business, become self-employed, and have it be sustainable and successful. So there you have it.
So here you are, this deeply educated young woman. You have your BA in communication and your master's in special and general education. Yeah. And you know that teaching is one of the things that you're passionate about, right? So yes. This is just this foundation of who you are. Yes. But yet there was something not congruent with the way in which you needed to teach, because the traditional model of teaching did not fall into alignment with your passion for not necessarily walking down the same path that most teachers walk. Did you initially feel that there would be a backlash or recourse or some sort of rejection from the teaching world that you were slapping them in the face? That's my own person. Yeah, it's not Jen's quote. That's mine. But, you know, was there some fear there?
Yes. So first, Paulette, I have to say, the way that you just connected those dots together gave me chills when you were saying, like, just putting those pieces together really is exactly how it felt and how it's gone for me. So thank you.
Well, I am an old wise woman with journalism training, so call it that. But I think it's just a matter of like putting the pieces together, and some people don't see that, and that's your genius. So fill us in.
Yeah. So, so it was absolutely that. I was very, very afraid of what was going to happen. And actually, before I gave the 2 weeks notice, I had been thinking in my mind, like, there's got to be some sort of way where I could be a teacher, with all the different ideas flying through my mind, right? Because I'm going through depression, anxiety. I'm like, is this possible? It's impossible. No, it's possible. No, it's impossible. You know, feeling like kind of like crazy land going on in my head. And I had heard within the teaching world, you could be a specialized teacher where you could work with just a small group of students and focus on just this small group of students in, say, reading and writing. And that was always my thing. I love reading. I love writing. Math, never. I failed math during school. That's a whole other story. But I talked to a woman who worked in a school who was our reading and writing specialist, and she would just work with a small group of students from every classroom, and her classroom was quiet, and it just felt more my speed. I walked in one day and I started chatting with her, and what she said to me I will never ever forget, and it was like someone had just stabbed me in the chest with a dagger. I asked her about doing what she was doing, and she looked at me and she said, "You can't do what I'm doing. You have to pay your dues first." That's how I got this job. I worked my way, having to teach an enormous classroom of children through the years. And she was definitely significantly older than I was, so she had been in the system for years. But she was very determined to let me know that this was impossible. And when I did give my 2 weeks notice, what happened was the principal refused more or less to even look at me, to speak to me. The teachers there were talking about me behind my back. And so those last 2 weeks that I was there, it felt very, very cold. I will say though, one thing I'll just add to this is that I don't blame these women. When you are in a school system and you count on other teachers, you aren't sure what's going to happen. And when we're afraid of what will happen in the future, we can default to these types of behaviors that, are less than favorable, you know, for lack of a better way of saying it. And I wondered, you know, what if I wanted to go apply for a teaching job at some point? Would someone be like, "We're not giving you a teaching job. You don't work in the school system anymore." So yeah, there was a lot of fear activated.
Mm. Thank you for that clarity. You know, when I'm listening to you speak, I'm reminiscent of traditionally the options for employment for women have been limited. I grew up in a time where my grandmother was a trailblazer because she was an entrepreneur and a very influential woman in my life because she ran a business and very successfully, which was not typically done to somebody born at the turn of the century. And I mean the other century, you know, 100 years plus ago, not this last one, right? My mother was also an entrepreneur, and both of my sisters have been. So let's just say it runs in my blood. Mm-hmm. But traditionally,
that's a blessing. It's a blessing to have that run in your blood.
It is a blessing. And I think that I have a lot of gratitude towards having those role models in my life to teach me that skill. But going back to the majority, I'm a little bit of a unicorn. So when women or girls are growing up, let's see, what are the fantasy? Mm-hmm. Nurse, teacher, mm-hmm. librarian, mm-hmm. Interior designer, maybe, like, you know, mom and wife, right? Well, we usually do the wife and then the mom, but mm-hmm. who's counting? But those are the traditional standard options that little girls used to see as, oh, what do you want to be? I want to be a nurse. I want to be a teacher. I want to be a whatever. And those things
a pediatrician. Sorry, those just came to me.
Say that again.
I said a vet. Well, that was something for me when I was a little kid. I thought about being a veterinarian, pediatrician. Those were two others.
Right. Veterinarian and pediatrician became a little bit your generation, but not mine. Like I'm 56. Yeah. Like that was still like, oh, you'd have to go to med school. Like you could be a nurse, but you wouldn't be a doctor. You could be a teacher, but you couldn't be a professor or a principal, right? I'm being a little sexist here, but go with me. But now the options are very different. And if women are in into that role of being married early or not, and let's say they are educated and they get that job and they have the resume and they really think that, ah, this is everything I've always ever wanted, but they get in a position in which, oh my, those inner voices that you were saying, those consistent and persistent messages that were urging you to create and generate an income on your own terms, that's a serious thing to not squelch and put down the garbage disposal, but just to bubble up. But those traditional values in many women, and even in the younger sect, are still there. And now we have more options, but unfortunately, they're not that high paying. So even in industries now like network marketing, dare we call it multi-level, but I'm not going to be, you know, too down that road, but very common, whether you're selling skincare, wine, jewelry, shampoo. I mean, I could list 95 more things, right? There's endless amounts of that. 2% of the people that get involved in those industries, and I'm not putting them down, they're very viable for many, make a substantial income in order to support their family. It's a very small number. Now, you also have artists, painters, crafters. Anytime you go to a flea market or a farmer's market, there's always women there that bake cookies and have, you know, essential oils and fabulous skincare products of their own. And then you have the service industry. They have a cleaning industry or they're an interior designer. And then real estate is a big one. Oh my, I think 85% of realtors are women. And, but again, a very small percentage of them make a viable, sustainable income. Mm-hmm. So now that I've kind of been a Debbie Downer with like, oh my, like, but it's true, right? The question is, how can women really create self-employment that's in alignment with their skills, their passions, and work around raising a family or not, and make it exactly what you just walked us through?
So one thing about like the MLMs and direct sales and all of that, and I know that like you said, the statistic is 2%. I really do think if a woman is super passionate, right? And she really believes in this product, whatever it is, right? She really believes in it, she's used it. She can be one of those people to make a living around it. What's happening with the people who are not really making a living is a lot of other things that are going on that I don't think we actually even see. And there does need to be, how do I want to put this? There needs to be a level of receiving teaching and education and support and guidance. And it does not happen overnight. But if you are someone listening to this and you really feel in this heart space, gut space, really just in your body that you want to be self-employed, you are meant to be self-employed, then you're starting, that's exactly where you want to be, right? Even if you have no idea how to do it and it scares the you-know-what out of you, we've got to start there. Now that I said that, Paulette, I forgot your original question because I started going off on a tangent.
You can go off. We do this podcast to go off. There's no rules here, Jen. We are going off. No, let's take it back to this conversation about why I started it. Is there was this traditional role. You're supposed to, you know, you go to ballet or maybe gymnastics or figure skating, and then you go to college and you get a career. You know, you get married and you have kids, and end of story. Mm-hmm. Well, it's not that simple anymore.
Right.
And life is a totally different. Now, women deserve to have their own financial independence and wealth. That's a statement of mine. I believe that to be a true fact. Yeah. And I also believe that women also need to be able to create their own journey and own path that is in alignment with them. Mm-hmm. And yes, there are those other hustles, and I'm all for them, because I know the one, maybe it's 5%, I don't know, but it's not 95% of people. It does take passion and commitment and an ability to be mentored and guided eloquently with somebody who's done the work. The first thing you always have to do is find somebody that's doing it successfully and hire them to teach you how, or become their friend, not to use them, but it's because you really care, and you, if they'll take you under their wing and teach you and guide you, everybody needs a guide. Everyone needs a coach. Everyone needs a mentor of somebody that's taken that road unwalked or less walked on and has been able to be that trailblazer. Not everybody's as lucky to have a grandmother that, like I did, that I saw, you know, driving her Mercedes with her cigarette in 1960, whatever. You know, it was a very different day back then. Now, the fears and the doubts that women feel when they want to go out on their own are really what's holding them back.
Yes.
So let's start there. What are the best ways to manage those fears?
Yeah. So the fear and the doubt and the worry and concern are definitely what will hold us back. The logistical pieces, like when I teach the logistical pieces of, for example, how to package your services, whatever those services are, your creativity, your skills, your talents, how to sell them, how to market them. That's actually the easy part. And I can teach someone how to do that really easily. The deeper inner work of managing fears, of managing limiting beliefs, where we say, I'm not good enough for this. No one will want to invest in my service or my product. I'm going to be rejected. I don't feel good enough again. Those are the things that will hold us back. So the starting place from there is actually recognizing that you have them, but that they are not you, and they do not define who you are. They do not define your self-worth. They do not define your value. And to also know that you're not alone, because every single woman goes through this. Every single human being has fears and doubts and worries. It is not rare. What's rare is that we don't talk about it as much. I think we've definitely gotten better in the world, but we don't talk about it still as much publicly. So in order to start to manage these fears, in my work, I was taught by my business mentor several writing tools, which might sound like a little bit hippy dippy or airy fairy, but is not. Because the one thing that's so important is that we are connecting into this part of ourselves. So every single morning, I use these writing tools and I teach them to all of my clients. And I teach all my clients how to use them every single morning. And what these tools do is, again, allows you to connect in with yourself and allows you to name the fears and doubts, to call them out. If every day of your life, you are willing to almost like get in bed with your fears and your doubts and your worries and concerns and call them out and write them down. And again, I take people through a very specific process on how to do this. What you're doing is for lack of a better word, you're normalizing it, right? You're actually staring it in the face. You're going, I have this fear. I have this doubt. It's not me, but I have it. I am afraid. Let me make an example. I am afraid that someone's not going to invest in my product or service. I am afraid that that's going to happen. That's a fear to me. And like I'm repeating it over and over. I'm afraid that that's going to happen. But the more you can do that, and again, writing it down, you can start to see that all it is a fear. It is not the truth. We get so stuck because we believe it to be true. Now, when I was first starting this work, or I should say trying to start the non-9-to-5, I was in massive fear, massive doubt. I went back into another depression because it didn't seem like I could ever do this. The best thing, hands down, that I could have ever done is find someone to hold my hand who had been there and is doing it successfully, teach me exactly what she had been doing, what she knows, guide me, support me, mentor me, and coach me. my business mentor, I've been a client of for over 7.5 years. And when I started doing this work, I started to learn like, oh, I can actually do this because this woman has done it before and she's holding my hand through this process. And that's what I do with the women I work with. I hold their hand through the whole thing. You get all of me. And it's very individualistic. So the fears won't just magically go away. You have to be able to name them. You have to be willing to call them out. And from my personal experience over 10 years of being self-employed, having coaching and mentorship for over 7.5, you need to invest in a coach or a mentor and take that person's hand and let them guide you.
Thank you. Getting those fears wrapped up, like putting them on a leash and owning them. And I love the fact that you said writing and journaling. And by the way, you can get as woo-woo as you want with me. I'm a birth doula, right? Remember, I'm a yoga teacher. I'm also hanging around with attorneys and fiduciaries and realtors and mortgage professionals. And, you know, I've read my share of legal documents, trust me. But I love the fact that you are taking them to a deeper level of self-study and self-analysis, because that's exactly what this is about. It's listening to those voices that you've been ignoring and dialing down the volume on and ignoring and saying, oh, this too shall pass. And for many people, they just live day after day after day in a state of constant numbness, just saying, well, this is the best it's ever going to get. I can never live a life that's fuller or deeper or more purposeful and meaningful. And they just live that 9-to-5 life. And you know what? Some people are made for that life. And that's not an insult. That's just a fact. I know people that were cut out for that type of work. They love not being responsible for anything other than showing up on time, working their hardest, and collecting a paycheck and benefits at the end of the week. That's really what they want. They have other dreams and hopes and aspirations, but that's what this, not what this conversation's about. This conversation is about for those women that do want to stand on their own 2 feet, and they do want to be self-employed, and they do want to be an entrepreneur, and they do want to take the steering wheel by both hands and, you know, drive it the direction that they want to do, but it's not easy. Mm-hmm. So taking this a little bit step further, for those women that are either in a 9-to-5 job or they're leaving a marriage and they need to start making a living, how can they find their purpose and pursue it as an entrepreneur?
Yeah, so there are some specific questions. So in finding your purpose, and I call it your non-9-to-5 purpose, because you might not be sure, right? If you're in one of those places that you just mentioned, Paulette, you're like, there's something greater and deeper out there for me. I don't know what it is. Well, where do I even start to figure that out? So there are several questions that you can start answering. And I recommend that you actually write these questions down. Again, going back to pen and paper, there is something so amazingly energetic and connected when you have a physical pen in your hand and that pen is on your paper, it's on the notepad. So I highly recommend that. And then questions you can ask yourself. And let me preface it with this. When you answer these questions in your notebook, release the feeling that you need to censor yourself, meaning release the feeling that this is wrong. Why am I writing this? This would never happen. This doesn't make sense. You got to release that and write it down anyway. So the first question you're going to write down and ask yourself is, what do I love? / what am I passionate about? And if you want, you can take them into two separate questions. What do I love? What am I passionate about? And you just pour it all out. Whatever it is. I love my dog. I love my kids. I love the sun. I love going to the beach. I love the smell of baked cookies. I love going to yoga. Doesn't matter, write it down. It doesn't mean that you have to become a baker, that you have to become a yoga teacher, that you have to become a teacher. You're just writing down the things that you love and you're passionate about. That's your starting point. Just a nice little easy baby step to take. Then the next question is, you ask yourself, write this down, what hardships have I overcome that I can help others overcome themselves? So what hardships have I overcome that I could help others overcome themselves? If saying helping others overcome themselves feel like too much, then just change the question to what hardships have I overcome that I could help others with? Sometimes just changing language will make something kind of go, okay, I can wrap my head around that. You can also phrase that question so that way it has to do with the here and now. What hardships am I currently facing? And so for many women, they're pretty clear on what hardships, especially the women you work with, Paulette, that they're facing right now. What hardships am I currently facing that I could potentially help someone with? Because if you're currently going through a hardship, and look, we're human beings, we're always going through something difficult, you will make it through to the other side. You don't know what that might look like, but it's going to happen. The next question is, I'm gonna ask this one. What do I consider myself an expert in? Now, what I notice though is for many women, when I use the word expert, they go, oh, I'm not an expert in anything. I'm not an expert in anything. But yes, you are. There are different things that you excel in that are unique to you, regardless if anyone else is excelling in it as well. That part doesn't matter. What are you an expert in? So maybe write down, you know what? I'm a damn good mom. I'm an expert at being a mom. I'm an expert at giving my friends advice. I'm an expert at sewing. I'm an expert at negotiating. You just got to let it just open up into anything that comes to you. And then finally, the last question is, what might be, and I'm using the word might, again, we're just kind of keeping it loose and open. What might be a business idea that would sound exciting to me? Or it could be what type of business might I like to pursue? Again, no censoring, just letting it flow. And when you look at all of these questions and everything you've written down, and you can do this over a period of time, maybe you have a notebook in front of you over a course of a couple of days that you just come to each morning and you bring more answers to these questions. And then what you do is you take all of your information and you start to highlight themes and you just look, just looking. No right, there's no right, there's no wrong. Release the judgment around it and just start to look. What that's going to do is that's going to start bubbling up ideas for you. And then what I sense will happen is that you'll be able to see from those ideas just a tiny little baby step action you could take. It might be calling a friend and asking about something. It could be going online and researching something. It could be who knows what's there.
That is great. And I just wrote all those down and I was walking through it. And now I know why I do what I do, Jen. Well, there's another great technique too for some people that aren't the journaling type, because I love to journal. I'm a writer. I have no problem with it. Some people it gets a little scary, but there's a genius guy named Tony Buzon, B-U-Z-O-N, I believe it. And he developed something called mind mapping. So you can really just take a big piece of paper, get your pretty little markers out, ladies, and write a word. And it could just be love. Like, what do I love? And you circle the word and you close your eyes and you get into this, you know, visceral feeling. What does it feel like? And you, out of that circle, you take a pen and you draw a line and you write a word. And you draw a line and you write a word. And you draw a line and you write a word. So it looks like spokes of a wheel. And before you know it, it's this messy thing of just a word that's circled and spokes coming off of that circle with all these other little words on it. And your mind, your subconscious, is going to emotionally vomit on the paper all of those things you love, right? So you're not thinking, what do I love? What would be a good thing for me to write on this list that looks like a really cool thing to love? No, you're getting past that, you know, layer of ego of what is it, what would be appropriate for me to write on this thing? So if for those of you that, you know, answering a question might be a little intimidating, just get it out. And Jen is so right. You've got to do it with pen and paper. there's something about a keyboard and typing when you're writing a book or you're writing a lot of copy where you just need to just type. But when it comes to this kind of self-exploration, yes, get out the pen. Make sure it's a pen you like. Like, go spend some extra money on a really sexy little pen. I don't know. My husband always buys these ones. These are Energels by Liquid Gel Ink. I don't know. They're super cool. And I love the way they feel. And I'll get a really nice notebook or whatever. But seriously, just take out a piece of printer paper and get it out of your soul. But now that you've got all this information, this is where the tough part starts. How do you take that and manifest it? And the answer is you work with someone like Jen. Mm-hmm. And if it's someone that wants to get divorced or fix their marriage or whatever, it's you work with someone like me. Mm-hmm. Because doing it alone is terrifying. And this is when we make mistakes and we end up staying stuck in a 9-to-5 job you hate, or you end up staying stuck in a marriage that can be damaging.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'll add to that, if I may, Paulette.
Of course.
The doing it alone, and I'm just going to be really blunt, it doesn't work. It will not work. It will feel arduous. It will kick up even more of the fears and doubts. And I'm saying this from a space of, I tried to start this business on my own. And it took months and months and months of spinning my wheels, not knowing what I was supposed to do, trying to build a website, trying to go to a networking event, no idea what I was doing. I was like that saying, throwing wet spaghetti at a wall. I was trying to see what was sticking. It was a waste of time. And so the work that I do is so that women don't have to waste their time. And what I so love about the work that I do is that we have a community. So my work is individualistic. You work with me one-on-one, and we have a community of other women. So all of my clients get to be together. It's very safe. It's very sacred. Everything is carefully curated because I understand the fears that can be activated when you're with others and in a group. But what I've learned is that in community, things really take off and women share inspirations and there's camaraderie and there's so much support. And I do this work from my heart because I did realize if I was feeling what I was feeling starting in 2010 and experiencing what I was experiencing and wanting to go off on my own and then taking those couple of years where I started my first business and then this, I knew and I know there are many others out there like me. So coming to the non-9-to-5 and being within this safe and sacred container is going to be a way that will have you start your business, will have you feeling more confident, and will have you generating an income that you're meant to generate, right? Mm-hmm. It is your birthright to generate an abundance of income. I fully believe that.
I couldn't agree more. And this is not a dumping on the 9-to-5 lifestyle. For many people, it works.
Yes.
This is for the person that knows that it's not in them.
Yes.
So you have an ebook. And you'd like to share it with them. Tell us about the ebook and how they can get that.
Yes, thank you. So I wrote this mini ebook in PDF form, and it's called The Number One Step to Staying with Your Business Mission. So if you have a mission, you have a purpose, well, it's great to know what it is and get it started, but how about staying with it so you don't go back to a 9-to-5 job and give up on it? So that's where this comes from my heart of realizing what that step is that you need to take to stay with your business mission. And to get it, it's really easy. You just go to my website, which is thenon925.com, spelled out all letters, and you just put your first name in and your email address, and you will get that sent off to you right away, and you'll have it in your inbox.
And what is the best way for women and men to learn about you, follow you, connect with you, talk to you? How do they do that?
Yeah, so my website's right there that I just gave you, thenon925.com, but then social, I'm on LinkedIn as Jen Schultz, S-H-U-L-T-Z. I am on Instagram, which is just thenon925. And I'm also on Facebook, which is thenon925. And I'm happy to connect with everyone there as well. And there's something really special I'd like to gift Paulette, if I could share this other thing too, because I've really enjoyed this talk with you. So I'd like to invite you, if what you've listened here today really resonates with you, you know you're not meant for the 9-to-5, you know you're meant to pursue your non-9-to-5 purpose and become successfully self-employed. You are a woman who knows that she is willing to admit she doesn't know everything, especially when it comes to being successfully self-employed. I want to gift you with a very special 1-hour clarity call with me. My gift to you, this is a $300 value. And on this call, we will come together. I will get to hear about what you are struggling with. We will look at what it is you really want, what your vision is. And we will see which of the non-9-to-5 programs that I offer are a match for you. The way to receive this gift, I'm going to give you very simply, and I'm going to put it out here, my email address, which is Jen, J-E-N, at the non9to5.com. And there's also a direct link that I believe that we can share in the show notes that will take you right to a clarity call application. It'll come directly to me and I will review it personally and I will be in touch with you. And I would love to be able again to gift that to your listeners, this 1-hour private call with me. Again, my gift to you.
I love it. Take advantage of that. If you're the person that is really unsure and you want some guidance and some clarity, this is your opportunity to do it. Thank you so much for sharing your wisdom and your story and inspiring other women to stand tall, keep their shoulders back, take a deep breath, and realize that they are worthy and they can do anything. Yeah. So thank you, Jennifer. I appreciate it. I love the name Jennifer. Jen's cute, but I love Jennifer.
I love how you just used my full name. I was like, oh, I haven't heard that in a while.
I know, but it's just, I don't know. It's one of the prettiest names. So I don't know. I gave my daughter a nice, long, pretty name and it always gets shortened. So I'm always, I don't have a short name. Paulette. So there's
You want to hear something cool that I learned when I was a kid. So Jennifer, this is what I learned. So I think it's true. Jennifer is derived from the Welsh, and that name in Welsh would be Guinevere, which I think is actually really beautiful. Mm-hmm. And Guinevere means friend of peace. Mm-hmm. And I love that because I really feel like that is who I am. I want the women that I work with to feel peaceful. I want to be able to bring that energy to other women. Mm-hmm. So I love it.
I love it too. And names have connotations and names have meaning. Paulette means little. I don't know if there's anything about Paulette that's little, but
are you short?
I'm 5'8" and a 36 double D. So I don't think there's anything little about me. My hair is big. My eyes are big. My teeth are big. My personality.
Actually, it's so funny, Paulette, though. Like, I've only seen you sitting at your chair, so I've never seen you stood up. To me, like when you said little, I was like, oh, that makes so much sense. You have this cute little face and everything about you is so cute. So I pictured you were like 5'3" or 5'4".
Oh, isn't that funny? Yeah. Well, names are funny. I named my daughter Nicolette and it means victorious. And Joseph, as he shall add, it's a Hebrew name, but he would add to the family. And the baby's Jeffrey, which is divinely peaceful. So when a Jeffrey and a Jennifer get together, let's just say there should be some peace. Now, I'm not a namologist, but isn't that fun? Well, here's to thriving in chaos, everyone. Don't let the chaos get to you. You know, life has been chaotic enough. And when it comes to your career, you've got to get up in the morning and love what you're doing. I know that's one of the reasons I knew I have. Anytime I became an entrepreneur and I was walking my own walk, I enthusiastically embraced the day. And I don't even think about the money. It's just there. So, you know, trust yourself, find your passion, live your purpose, answer those questions, and stay in alignment with why you are contributing to the world. You're here for a purpose. This isn't an accident. I don't believe in coincidences. Walk your walk. And find your people that can help you get there. You're not alone. So keep thriving in the chaos. All my love.
Thanks for tuning in. And make sure if you want to talk to us or ask us questions, you can always email us at thrivinginchaospodcast@gmail.com. See you next week.